right. Good to see you this morning. Isn't it great to be in church at 9 o'clock? Oh, I mean 10 o'clock. Hope that you've had your cup of coffee and that you're getting the cobwebs out so that you'll be able to concentrate on the scriptures. But let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Judges. We're in the 16th chapter. Judges chapter 16. And for this morning's lesson, we're just going to look at three verses. Judges chapter 16. I'll read to you verses 1 to 3. Judges 16, notice verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now let me pray and then we'll get to our lesson this morning. Father, we are thankful that we can assemble today in the church house. And I pray, dear God, that you please, I need your enablement, I need your empowerment by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to communicate and to teach thy word to your people this morning. I pray, Lord, that this morning as we look to the scriptures, you'll open the word of God, open it up unto us. And Lord, that you'll instruct us and bless us from your word and meet with us. Lord, we want a fellowship with you. And so we pray, God, you'll bless us and help us this morning. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 20 years have passed from Judges chapter 15 to the time you get to Judges chapter 16. See, it's just a glance in your Bible, but it's 20 years of time that have transpired. And for 20 years, Samson has judged the nation of Israel. You look at the last verse of chapter 15, it says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And during those 20 years, Samson lived a life of faith. You'll remember I gave you these couple of verses during this time that we've been studying about the life of Samson, but I'll refresh your memory in regard to them. They are found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in verses 32 and the first part of verse number 33. Here you have God's Hall of Fame. And here the Bible says, and what shall I more say? For time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of, here he is, Samson, and of Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets. And then in verse number 33, here's what it says about those whom God has just named, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Now, you understand that that word wrought means worked. And so for 20 years, Samson wrought or worked righteousness. His name, as we said, is in God's Hall of Fame here in Hebrews chapter 11. And his name is here in Hebrews chapter 11 because of those 20 years. God doesn't tell you what he did during those 20 years, but because he faithfully served God and wrought righteousness for 20 years, you find his name here in Hebrews chapter 11. But the Lord allows here to us to see in Judges chapter 16 a place where Samson fails. And the reason for Samson's failure is sin. May I give you a verse of scripture that's found in the book of Psalms? You'll find it in Psalm number 31. Psalm number 31 in verse number 10. These are the words of David. And in Psalm 31:10, listen to what David says. He says, my life is spent in grief, and my years with sighing. And then listen to what he says here. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. You know, when you consider David, the man after God's own heart, there never really has been another man of war like David. And yet David says, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. And as we look at the life of Samson here, we learn something about the deceitfulness of sin. An individual sins, and because they do not immediately reap the consequences of that sin, they think they can get away with it. Or they think that they can continue in it. But here's what people don't realize: when you get involved in sin and you don't get right with God or repent of that sin and keep on continuing in it, there's a day when that payday for that sin that you've committed and dabbled with is going to come. Payday is going to come. And oftentimes, you know how it comes? It comes very unexpectedly. And Samson here begins going down a path of sin that will one day, not right here, because here he shows miraculous strength. You'll see that by the time we get to the end of our lesson. But right now, after 20 years of faithfully serving God, living a life of faith, after 20 years of working righteousness, he begins going down a pathway, just like David said, my strength faileth me because of mine iniquity. And that's what's going to happen to Samson by the time you get to the end of this chapter. His strength will be robbed from him, taken from him, and so will God's glory. All right, so this morning we're going to be speaking on this subject in these first three verses, the failures of Samson. And listen, I'm not a condemner of Samson. You know what I understand as I look at these portions of Scripture or look at the life of Samson? You know, God can tell you about the great things that a man did, and God can tell you about the failures that a man had. And Samson did many great things that undoubtedly God did not tell us about. All right, but you know what God does? He tells us something about Samson's failures in his life. And so there's lessons for us to learn from Samson's failures. Here's the lessons that I want you to see, all right, in regard to Samson's failures this morning. First of all, Samson failed, but because, first of all, he traveled in a wrong direction. He traveled in a wrong direction. Look at verse number 1 here in Judges chapter 16. Notice what the Bible says. Then went Samson to Gaza. Then went Samson to Gaza. Now, Gaza is a Philistine city. It's about 40 miles from Samson's hometown. Remember, when you study his life, his hometown was Zorah, right there on the Philistine border. So he travels 40 miles now to this city of Gaza. And why Samson goes to Gaza, we do not understand and we do not know. And I understand this, though, in regard to his going down to Gaza. Undoubtedly, he could not say like Abraham's servant in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 27. Remember when the servant of Abraham was going to get a wife for Isaac, and he goes there into Mesopotamia ultimately to find Rebekah? And remember, as he meets her by the well, and he realizes now this very first woman that's come along is to be the wife of his master, undoubtedly, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Samson goes down to Gaza, and I don't think Samson could say that. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And he couldn't say like Solomon. Remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then remember the next verse. And he shall direct thy path. And so Samson goes down to Gaza, but I'm just telling you, he's traveling in a wrong direction. I don't think he could say, the Lord led me. I don't think he could say that the Lord was directing his path. Now, what I'm wanting you to realize is this. Samson's purpose, his purpose for going down to Gaza, I don't think he went necessarily there to engage himself in sin. His reason for going down to Gaza may have been very noble. You know, Gaza was one of the five principal cities of the land in the land of the Philistines. The name Gaza means the strong fortified cities. And here's what you need to realize. I'm sure you probably didn't know this about Gaza, but down in the land of the Philistines, remember there was a city of Gath. Who came from Gath? Goliath. You know what Gath was? It was a city of giants. And you know what Gaza was? Gaza was a city of giants. Go in your Bible. I'll show you that it is. Find the book of Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. Here we're reading about the conquering of the land of Canaan by the nation of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. Verse number 18, the Bible says, Joshua made war a long time with those kings. And then in Joshua chapter 11, look at verse number 22. The Bible says, there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Remember the sons of Anak? Remember in the book of Numbers chapter 13 when the spies came back from spying out the land? In Numbers chapter 13 verse number 33 they said, we saw the sons of Anak there and we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. All right, and so now you understand the sons or the children of Anak, the Anakims, if you please. All right, they were giants. And now Joshua is in the land of Canaan and they're warring against the people who inhabit the land of Canaan. And they warred against some of those giants. And again, notice what it says in verse number 22. There were none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in where? Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. And so I'm just wanting you to realize that Gaza is a city of giants. It's a fortified city. And possibly Samson went there to wreak havoc among the enemies of Israel. I'm not telling you that he went there with bad intentions. He might have gone down there for noble reasons. But here's what I want you to realize this morning. Can you learn the lesson? Can you get the lesson? Noble reasons, intentions alone do not justify a believer for moving in a certain direction. Your intentions might be good, they might be noble, but just because they're what you perceive to be right or noble doesn't mean that it's the will of God for your life. Let me give you an illustration. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 21. When you go to Acts chapter 21, notice what the scripture says. We're seeing here some things about the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is on his way to the city of Jerusalem. And as he is on his way to the city of Jerusalem, he stops at a city, Tyre. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 4. Acts 21, 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. All right? There's the will of God for Paul's life. The Spirit of God said, do not go to Jerusalem. But you know what Paul does? He continues on his journey. Now, let me ask you a question. Is Paul going to Jerusalem to sin? Is Paul going to Jerusalem to do wrong? Paul's going to Jerusalem, and you know what the Apostle Paul has? Noble intentions. Look in this very same chapter in verse number 10. He continues on his journey as we tarried there. Now he's in Caesarea many days. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, thus shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when He would not be persuaded. We cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. You understand what I'm trying to get across to you? I do not know why Samson went down to the city of Gaza. Maybe he went down there for noble purposes, to wreak havoc among the enemies of the nation of Israel, to slay some giants. I'm just telling you, you know what? Right here, it wasn't time for him to go. And Paul went to Jerusalem with noble intentions. All right, but right there, it wasn't time for Paul to go. We're talking about the failures of Samson. His failures start out when he starts moving in a wrong direction. Now, going to the wrong place ultimately led Samson, you can see from our story very easily, that going to this wrong place led Samson into sin. And that, folks, you understand this, that's how sin works. You end up in a wrong place where you ought not to be, and then you know what sin does? It catches us off guard. And we're in a wrong place and sin catches us off guard, you know what? We're not prepared to deal with it. We're not prepared to deal with it. You understand this? Eve did not intend to sin, but that's what happened when she was in the wrong place. She didn't get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to go out and disobey God today. But you know what God had done? He had made a garden, and he had placed the man and the woman in the garden. And Eve was all by herself there in the garden. And you know where she's hanging out? Right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said not to eat of. You got the entire garden to dwell in. Why are you standing next to that tree? Right? I mean, if we had spiritual sense, we'd realize sometimes, you know what we ought to do? We ought to get as far. Okay, if I'm not supposed to eat from that tree, I'm going to stay as far away from that tree as I possibly can. Do you understand? Okay, but here she is in the garden. I mean, the garden is the right place, but why are you hanging out next to that tree? She was in the wrong place. And then the devil came along and tempted her. And then she ate of that tree that God commanded her and Adam not to eat of in Genesis chapter 3. Hey, David didn't intend to sin when he goes up to the rooftop in his own palace. And it just by happenstance worked out that he saw this beautiful woman bathing herself. And you know that David ultimately sins against God. He didn't get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to sin today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to commit adultery. No, he was just in the wrong place. May I read you a verse of scripture in regard to that? You don't have to turn there, just listen. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says it came to pass after the year was expired. Are you listening? At the time when kings go forth to battle. That's usually in the spring of the year. You know what happens in the spring of the year? Kings go out and they make war. It was a time when kings are supposed to go out and do what? War. And is David warring? He's at the house. He's in the wrong place. Can I get down to where we all live? Don't just let that go about a foot over the top of your head. Okay? You know what you and I are supposed to be involved in? Spiritual conflict, spiritual battle. And you know what? There's a time when the church is supposed to go out to what? War. And you know what a lot of folks do? There's a time to pray together. There's a time to go out and visit. There's a time to do those things. But you know what some folks do? They stay at the house. Quiet in here. And because David was in the wrong place, He ultimately sinned. He was in the wrong place. She sinned. David was in the wrong place. He sinned. Hey, Peter didn't intend to sin when he sat by the fire in the palace of the high priest and was accused of being three times the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just in the wrong place. You say, well, how do you know he's in the wrong place? Because before he ever got to that fire, when he was in the right place, which was the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Lord took him and James and John, and he said, I'm going yonder to pray. And he came back and he found them asleep. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 26, I believe it's about verse number 41. He said, he found them asleep. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And you know the story. They didn't watch and they didn't pray. And so where did he end up? By a fire. And when he was accused of being a disciple of Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't prepared to deal with it. I'm just telling you, you see, Samson goes down to the city of Gaza. I don't know why he went. I'm not telling you this morning that he went down there to do specifically something that was sinful and wrong in the eyes of the Lord. But he was moving in a wrong direction. And when he got there, he wasn't prepared to deal with what took place. That's failure number one. All right, failure number two. First, he goes in the wrong direction. And then his second failure is he fails because he makes a wrong decision. He went in the wrong direction and then he makes a wrong decision. If you're there in Judges chapter 16, look at the second part of the verse, or the whole verse. It says, Samson went to Gaza, and the Bible says he saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Now, Samson sinned when he made a decision to go into this Philistine harlot. Remember what the Bible says over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, in verse number 16. Paul says what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And verse number 18, Paul says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. All right, here's a man who for 20 years lived a life of faith. Here's a man who for 20 years worked or wrought righteousness, and now, because he's moving in a wrong decision, he's going to make a wrong decision, which is ultimately here going to lead him to sin against the Lord. Now, Samson's wrong decision, are you listening? Started with a look. You'll notice back there in Judges chapter 16, in verse number 1, it says, and saw there an harlot. Started with a look. Learn something. I'm going to tell you a truth right now. You know it, but get it. All right? So it started with a look. The look produced a thought. The thought produced an action. The action resulted in sin. Started with a look, then a thought, then an action, and then sin. And you know what? Many times, that's how sin begins. Starts with just a look. We already talked about Eve, but I take you back to the book of Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 6. Remember what the Bible says? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. First of all, she was in the wrong place. And then what? She saw something. Can't help looking at a tree. But the look produced a what? Thought. She saw that it was good for food and desired to make one wise. And so started with a look, It then became a thought. Then she took of that fruit and ate of it. An action, and the action resulted in sin. That's just the way this thing works. When you go to the book of Joshua, in chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, remember when Achan sinned there by taking of the accursed thing in the fall of Jericho, when he took the wedge of gold and the shekels of silver and the Babylonian garment, and then when Israel was going out against their enemies at Ai, they were not able to overcome them, and Joshua doesn't understand why they were not able to defeat their enemies here. He falls down before the Lord, and the Lord said, get up. He says, get up, there's sin in the camp. And the next day, Israel begins to come before the Lord, the entire nation, tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah is taken. It gets down to the families of Judah, and then it gets down to the person Achan himself. And remember when Achan begins to make confession in regard to what took place there. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, verse number 20, Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Are you listening? Verse number 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. How did it start? I saw a wedge of gold. I saw 50 shekels or 200 shekels of silver in these Babylonian cars. The sin wasn't in the scene. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't cut it right there. The sin became a thought. I coveted them. And the thought became an action. I took them. And the action became what? Sin. And then Achan dies. And the unfortunate thing is, it just ain't Achan. It's everybody at Achan's house. Had to pay for his sin. Hey, I already told you about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It was a time when kings go off to war, but David's in the wrong place. And the Bible says in verse number 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, it came to pass in the evening tide when David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He saw. But then what did he do? Same thing. He desired. And then he did what? He took. And then what? He sinned. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. See, God wants me to learn something and you to learn something. Let me ask you a question. You think you're stronger than David? You know what the answer to that question is? You're not. I'm not. You think you're stronger than Samson? I got news. When God writes the New Testament Hall of Fame, I'm not going to be in the names, and neither are you. Okay? So we're not stronger than David, and we're not stronger than Samson. But they sinned. They failed. And so you know what God says? I'm going to give you a lesson, boys and girls. Here's the lesson about their life. And because I gave you the lesson about their life, you don't have to have the same mistakes. Hey, listen, when Samson went down to Gaza, you know what he didn't have? He didn't have a New Testament. He didn't even have an Old Testament. He had the first five books of Moses, maybe, but that's all he had. Maybe the book of Joshua. Maybe he had six books of the Bible. He didn't have a Bible to read. He didn't have a local church that he went to. He didn't have a pastor to teach him the Bible. He didn't even have any Christian friends. Okay, see, you and I got a lot more than what Samson had. We have less of an excuse than Samson had. See, sometimes we cannot help what we see. Eve couldn't help it. Achan couldn't help it. David couldn't help it. But that's when we must learn to stop what we see from becoming a thought which produces an action which becomes sin. Hey, can I give you the words of a great man? The man is Job. His words are found in Job chapter 31, verse number 1. You know what a man said? Here's Job. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. And then you know what he said? Do you know the rest of the verse? He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. And he didn't say not to look on a woman. He says not to think upon a woman. Sometimes you can't help what you see. You see? And we live in a day and time when, hey, you know what? What they show on TV today, what they show in the newspapers today, when Playboy magazine started out, they didn't show that stuff. The way women dress today. Sometimes you can't help seeing, but you know what you can help? You know what you can help? Thinking. You got to cut it off. Right there. Remember, see, that's how the devil gets a hold of us. That's how the devil leads us into sin. It's not just, you know, it's with anything that would tempt us once we see it. If you see a wedge of gold and you desire it so that you take it, you got to cut it off. The thing you see becomes a thought. The thing you think becomes an action. The action you do come up becomes a sin. Remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When a thought gets up here that ought not to be there, and remember what the Bible says in Proverbs, the thought of foolishness is what? Sin. And so when a foolish thought gets up here, you know what you and I have to do? You got to cut it. You got to get it. You got to capture it. Bringing into captivity every thought into the captivity of Christ. Get out! I plead the blood of Christ against it. See? Now, as I said, sometimes you can't help what you see. In regard to just happen to be in a particular place. And you see things that you should not look upon, but you can stop the process from going on any further. But listen, folks, we should never intentionally look upon anything that would lead us into sin. Sometimes you can't help it. Just kind of circumstantial, right? Remember what the Bible says in Psalm 101, verse number 3, first part of the verse. I will set no, what? Wicked thing before mine eyes. Let me tell you the truth. You know why there's so much perversion going on today in this country? You know why? Child molestation and sexual abuse and rapes and all that stuff. It's always been around, but you know why it's on the rise? Because there's too many people, mostly men. You know what they're doing? They're watching wickedness on a computer screen. Yeah, it's widespread. Watching too much wickedness on a computer screen. And you cannot watch that stuff without it producing thoughts. And then the thoughts want to become actions. And the actions become sin. That's just the sad reality of the day and times in which we live. All right, Bob Holmes, I'm not picking on you. Okay, but listen. No. You know what he is? He's a prison guard. I guarantee you that if we could go to the place where he works and if we could get the guys that are incarcerated there because of sexual sins that they've committed, all right, everyone, undoubtedly, pretty much, everyone would have to admit that, you know what, it all started out with pornography. Am I?
I see it in their cells. It's crazy.
Yeah. So certainly, I mean, some things you can't help but see. I mean, you can't help it if you didn't go to the wrong place, like Samson did. But even sometimes, if you're just doing the things that you're supposed to do, like Achan, couldn't help it. Everything that they found was supposed to be consecrated to the Lord. But I got to go on real quickly. I need to finish the last one. Talking about Samson's failures. Why did he fail? Number one, he went in the wrong direction. Number two, made a wrong decision. Number three, he failed even though he was delivered. And let me go real quickly. All right, let's learn something about Samson's enemies first of all. Because what's true about his enemies, the Philistines, helps us learn something about our adversary, the devil. First of all, I want you to realize the devil, or the enemy, in regard to Samson, all right, surrounded Samson. Look at verse number 2 here in Judges chapter 16. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in. They completely surrounded him. That's what that means. And that's what the devil seeks to do to you and I. All right, to get us to a place where we think that there is no way out of our situation. We are completely surrounded. We are compassed in. May I give you some more words of David? This time they're found in Psalm 118, verses 8 to 14. The Bible says here, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. Listen what David said, or that's not David for certain, just the psalmist. He said, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. You read about the life of David. I won't take time to turn your attention there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 23, David's fleeing from Saul. And you know what Saul has David? In a mountain, but completely compassed about. And then Saul hears a rumor, and you know what he has to do? He has to leave. But he thought he had David. Why? He had him surrounded. And you understand this. Not only did they have him surrounded, the enemy's intention was to slay David there in verse number 2. It says, not only did they have him compassed in, they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it's day, we'll kill him. All right, so they were going to kill Samson. You know where they're going to kill him? At a time when he wasn't ready. They think, well, in the morning is going to be the best time. He'll not be ready. All right, and when you read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 11. Again, you're reading about David and Saul. And you know what? David's at home. And you know what Saul has? He sends his men to David's house. You know what he tells them? Get him. You know when he said to get him? in the morning. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 11. And I got news for you, friend. The devil wants to get you. Wants to get me. And you know what he wants to get you? When you're not ready. When you're not ready. Through ways that you don't suspect. I don't have time to read you the verses, but in Galatians 2, verse number 4, and in Jude, verse number 4, it talks about false brethren crept in unawares. You know where you don't expect false doctrine to come in? Right in the church house. But it did. You see, Samson's enemies, and then let me finish, Samson's exploits. Somehow, some way, Samson becomes aware of the Philistines' plans to kill him. In verse number 3, it says, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Real quickly. Somehow, some way, as I said, he finds out about the Philistines' plans to kill him. He gets up at midnight. He leaves the harlot's house. And one or two things had to happen that the Bible doesn't tell us of. Remember, he's completely compassed in. And they had to have a bunch of guys there. Because they know who Samson is. And you know it's going to take more than a couple to get him, right? So they got a whole bunch of guys. And they've got the house completely surrounded. And they're going to kill him in the morning. And Samson gets up at midnight. And one or two things had to happen. The men who had Samson surrounded, you know what they had to do? How come they didn't attack him when he got up? So one thing had to happen was they all ran away. They said, whoa, we don't want to do this. Or number two, here's another thing that possibly could have happened. They had a fight and Samson kills them all. See, I'm just telling you, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened. But you know, how could you have your enemy completely surrounded and he gets up and there he is. You want to kill him, now there he is and nothing happens. Something happened. They either ran away or they got into a battle and Samson kills them all. However, whatever happened in regard to that, we don't know. God doesn't tell us. You see, God doesn't tell us everything sometimes about situations that happen. But Samson goes to the gate of the city and he rips the entire gate off the wall and carries it on his shoulders all the way to Hebron. Now, here's the miraculous thing about that. All right, are you listening? First of all, the gates with their posts were 10 to 12 feet high and 20 to 24 feet wide. And those gates weighed somewhere in the vicinity of 2 tons. Do you know how much a ton is? 2,000 pounds. You know how much 2 tons is? 4,000 pounds. So he literally goes up to a gate, all right, that's 20 feet wide, 10 to 12 feet high, and rips it right off the wall. And then, all right, he puts the gate on his shoulder, and he goes all the way to Hebron, to the hill before Hebron. You know how far that is? About 20 miles. So he carries a gate that weighs about 4,000 pounds, all right, about 20 miles, and probably puts it up on top of the hill and says, hey, everybody, look at that. Now, here's the thing that I want you to realize in closing. He fails in the midst of this great deliverance. Because when you read the story, when he gets to the top of the hill and sets the gates down, you know what words you don't hear? Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of a mess when I got in one. Does he say anything about God? He doesn't thank God. All right. He doesn't give glory to God. There's no mention of God in the whole thing. You know what it was? It was just a show of strength. No God was in it apart from the fact that it was the Lord who enabled Samson to do it. It's what the Bible calls in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 12, a fair show in the flesh. But you know what Samson is? He's a believer. He's a man of faith. And you know what God's always doing? God's always at work in a person's heart who knows the Lord. And God's going to get him to the place where there's going to be a turning back to God. But you know what? You know why some really tough things have to happen to people? Because they don't get it when things like this happen. And so it's going to take a whole lot for the light bulb to come back on again in Samson's head and his heart. So he's going to have that. We'll study it next week, the situation with Delilah. But then it has to get worse than that. And finally, remember, we'll look at just one last verse and we're done right here. Judges chapter 16. Remember when Samson there is in the arena? The Bible says in verse number 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I might be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Ah. See the transformation that took place? And do you know what God said? You know what God said? It's not in the Bible, but this is what God said. I hear you, son. I love you, son. I'll help you, son. Go ahead. Pull it down, and I'll take you home